You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident fanalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_dada. Still all quiet on the, is it the Eastern or the Western Front? Depends on your perspective. Don't worry about it. I think it's Western. I don't know. Why don't we get started? So I had a thought. Today we ended up signing Mr. Eric Wilson. Very, very excited about that. I mentioned when we signed him that he was basically an elite special teamer via PFF. And I was stunned that he was being bounced around so much. He came here and he was one of the top special teamers via PFF this past year. Very excited to have him and now have him back. But it's funny how this stuff happens in terms of, us signing people. And you go back and you look at in time, it's funny because it's the off season. You feel like nothing really happens around this time. And then you go back and look, and I know I did this last year, but you look at the dates and it's like, oh, dang, this time last year we did this and we did that. We didn't actually do anything last year from this time through the end of the month. In fact, things went real quiet for like a couple weeks, but March 21st last year is when we signed Keyshawn Nixon. And it was such a small thing, and it's so funny. Every year you go back and you look, and you've kind of learned over the years not to get too down on any signings because you know somebody's going to blow up. In fact, it was March, they have it 17th and 18th, so it was in that range apparently, that we signed defensive tackle Jaron Reed. And that's, everybody, this is the greatest pairing we've had at defensive tackle. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Jaron Reed is, no offense, good dude and all, but has never really been that dude in his entire career. Also, slander to Mike Daniels, how dare you. But again, you never know. Maybe Jaron Reed's going to blow up. And then this Keyshawn Nixon guy's like, nah, just a special teamer. But it's funny to look back and just think, at that time, we had no freaking idea. No idea what that was about to become. And so I want to kind of look at some of those. I actually went back and found the podcast where I talked about Keyshawn Nixon to see what I had said. I'm up to this moment still trying to decide if I want to play it just because I have the Pat McAfee syndrome where I cannot just shut up and get to the point. But I can give you the Cliff Notes version. I did mention very briefly that I liked the signing, which is surprising. Let me see if I can just kind of edit this thing down a little bit. But I think the Cliff Notes version is, I like the signing. I said it was important that we got some players because it's not enough to just get a coach, right? Although we certainly needed a new special teams coordinator. I don't think you can just drop a special teams coordinator in the midst of the guys that we had and expect it to get better. It needed to be both. We need to invest. That means in a guy that knows how to put the right pieces in the right places, but you also need to invest to get the pieces in order to put them in the right places. And this is one of those guys. And then the third point that I brought up is that I actually thought that perhaps he could play slot. I said, I'm kind of dreaming here, but let me dream. And I went back and I looked at all his statistics and I said, the guy is really, really bad. His grades on defense are bad. However, if you look at it, he mostly played safety and boundary, which is a weird combo. and he just graded out really poorly. But toward the end, they started putting him in the slot, and he actually graded out quite well in the slot. And I thought maybe there's a chance that we could occasionally use him in the slot, and he may not be that bad. And I think I cracked that one pretty good. We played him in the slot, and I thought he was a pretty good slot player for us. He had some rough games, but usually those are the ones where he played like 5, 6, 7 snaps. Especially toward the end, there was a 3-week stretch where he played a significant amount of snaps, and he's in the 60-70 range. The one thing I completely missed was the part about him being a returner, because again, there was no indication that he had ever really done that in any significant way or been any good at it. Plus, we had guys, whether we liked him or not, we got some guys, we kind of know this guy's going to be the guy, maybe that guy, you know, whatever. He wasn't on the list. It wasn't until training camp started, and then you get just a pile of names, and Keyshawn's one of them, but who cares? There's a bunch of names. You know, they're just trying out a bunch of guys. So I know at some point I had talked about Keyshawn as a returner and kind of shot that down, but it wasn't in that. If you want to go listen, just to verify that I'm not just making stuff up, go back to, I think it was like March 23rd or something last year. The name is literally, it says Keyshawn Nixon right on it, so it's easy to find. And I think I talked about it relatively early on. But anyways, again, the main point is, I think it's really fun to kind of go back and look, because you just feel like nothing ever happens at this time. And some really big stuff happens around this time. Again, Jaron Reed and Keyshawn Nixon came to our team right around this time. And Keyshawn Nixon goes on to be maybe the best kick returner in football last year. In fact, that's not, I don't think, super debatable. We also got Sammy on April 9th. That was the next thing that we did. Now, April 9th is a little ways away, and obviously not a lot of people were excited about Sammy, nor especially today are excited about the fact that we signed Sammy. But it's still, again, it's one of those things where you look at it and say, I don't think we're going to do anything. That was our big free agent wide receiver signing, and it was on April 9th. On the 13th, we signed Chris Barnes, Dominique Daphne, Jake Hansen, Yosh Nijman, Randy Ramsey, and Malik Taylor to one-year exclusive rights contracts. 24th is when we gave Rashawn Gary his fifth-year option, so keep an eye on that for the Jordan Love thing. And then, of course, we come up on the... We had a couple of come to terms with B.J. Baylor, Tyler Goodson, Khalif Bryce, a bunch of other players right up prior to the draft. Going back another year around this time. Re-signed Aaron Jones and Kevin King, re-signed Mercedes Lewis and Tyler Lancaster, re-signed Will Redmond. Then April 21st, fifth-year option on Jair, 25th, I don't know, it says fifth-year option for 2022 on Jair. I don't know exactly why there's a difference. But again, it's right in that time, 24th, 25th, and then right before the draft, April 28th, agreed to terms with Jacob Capra, Coy Cronk, John Dietzen, Bailey Gaither, Jack Heflin, Carlo Kemp, Christian Uphoff. So these are kind of the things that, although they're not, maybe there's some official dates in there that I'm not aware of, but although these are not official dates, these are dates that the Packers tend to hold to for various reasons. So you kind of get the end of March, some re-signings, the beginning of April, re-signings slash potential free agent guys, you know, again, Reed, Watkins, etc. End of April, you're getting your fifth-year options and then a flurry of signings, and then you got the draft. 2020, on March 30th, we signed Rick Wagner and Christian Kirksey to two-year contracts, re-signed Will Redmond and running back Tyler Irvin to one-year contracts. Not exactly major, shakers and movers. But again, I love going back through this because you kind of feel like they're probably not doing anything right now. And they're not going to. And maybe they won't because we got to kind of get some resolutions on this Aaron Rodgers situation. But at least in terms of re-signing our guys, which we've already begun doing. You know, there's still some other guys that are out there. There's some major guys like Adrian Amos. Whether or not you even want him back, I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on it myself, especially considering the price. I think I want him back just based on how bad our situation is. He kind of helps us set a floor. But again, it's got to be at the right price. And I have a hard time... I'm assuming the price that Adrian Amos wants is higher than what I personally would feel comfortable with. But I could be wrong. And maybe that's what this whole thing is about. If he's going around the NFL saying, I want 10, I want 10, I want 10, and everybody's like, look, we'd love to have you, but you're out of your mind, then the price comes down. And the question is, how many times is that price going to continue to lower and lower and lower before the Packers are like, all right, let's go? You know, when you factor in the amount of money we have, which is not that much. I mean, assuming we get this Rodgers deal done, we've got $22 million right now. You take 9 right off the top for Rodgers. That puts us at 13. We're out of money. 13 minus what we have to pay to sign our draft class. We've restructured everybody to death already. Now, the interesting thing, again, and I got to get some resolution on this because this is the second time this has come up, but the interesting thing about Adrian Amos is I believe that 22 figure is based on paying Adrian Amos $8 million this year in dead money. So if we gave him a contract, let's say that was for $8 million, my assumption is that dead money would just get pushed back one more year, which means we would essentially get him for free. You pay him the $8 million and we don't really lose anything on that cap number. And then next year we pay the $8 million dead. Because I don't think you'd pay dead money on a guy that's on your team, right? So it has to get pushed back a year. I don't know, something like that. I got to figure out how that works. Because then you start wondering about, can we take some of that money and put it, like, let's say he settles at five. What if we gave him eight? Could we do less next year? I don't know how that would necessarily work. I'd have to look at what the money is. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. I mean, ultimately, it's his bonus money that's accelerated into this year. So if we gave him, I wonder if we don't give him an extension if all that money just stays on this year, but if we add a void year, if it would just be split evenly, so it would actually be four and four. I don't know. I have no idea. I am not sure. I just wanted to bring back Amos now just so I can see what happens to these numbers because I don't get it. And then, of course, the oh-so-famous year in 2019, it was March 14th that we signed Adrian Amos, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Billy Turner all in one day. You know, and here's the other thing. That was such a fun time for Packers fans. And I remember all of us thinking, like, dude, this is a new era with Brian Gutekunst and you know, his philosophy toward free agency and taking some big swings and whatnot. We haven't done that recently. I mean, it's been going downward, but that's not a change in philosophy. It's just acknowledging what we have to work with. He had more to work with at that time, and he wanted to try to use the capital we had to kind of raise the talent level of the team overall. And the reality is, again, based on the cap management, things like paying Za'Darius to go play for the Vikings, paying Adrian Amos, assuming he goes somewhere else, $8 million to play for another team. He probably won't even sign for $8 million wherever he goes. We're paying more for guys here while they're playing somewhere else. That kind of stuff, as well as the inflated contracts I keep talking about and all that. We got to get away from that. And if we can get away from that, you know, I mean, and it depends. I mean, if we're loaded up with a bunch of superstar players that make a ton of money, then whatever. But, you know, the reality is it's somewhat unfortunate because we talk about how we squandered this contract and everything else. Well, he's still cheap. And even next year, he's going to be cheap. But you know what? We don't have any money. We don't have any money to even if Rodgers wasn't on the books. You know, and next year he won't be on the books. Guess what? We're not going to have any money next year. Made fun of the Jets for the same thing. You guys had a quarterback and a rookie contract. Where's all your money, you bunch of dummies? That's going to be us next year. We're going to be the dummies with a guy on a rookie contract. And, I mean, it's a fifth-year option, so it's more expensive. But we're not going heavy in free agency. We don't have any money. So, but that's the thing. We got to get it cleaned up. And I do think if that happens, we're going to start to see that again. A more aggressive free agency period and all that. Because we have the ability to, as opposed to just overpaying everybody to stay here so we can run it back. So, I mean, this is a fun time of year, and some things have been done, and some things may potentially still get done. We got to see in terms of if we're bringing anybody else back, if we're releasing anybody, if we're bringing in a free agent of some kind, or maybe the biggest that we've seen yet in this era, which is a massive trade involving Aaron Rodgers in this time. Hopefully that's the case. So anyway, stay vigilant. Never know what's coming around the corner. It is always fun to go back and look around this time over the years what kinds of things have been done. Anyways, before we continue, we should probably check in with how the Jets fans and those guys are handling things. So let's check in on them, make sure they're holding up. All right.
Fran in Massapequa joins us. What's up, Fran?
This is typical Jets. Everybody's trying to
typical Jets.
Do everything. You know, instead of getting Rodgers, hey, take the one, take the two, give me Rodgers. But this is going to be a disaster.
How's it a disaster?
You just exposed it. They have no offensive line. You think the 13 pick is going to come in and everything's going to be fine?
No, it gives you depth. You have Max Mitchell. You have Rodgers, but you don't have to be idiotic about it. You don't give up everything. It's a negotiation. Okay, right. I don't care about Jet fans. They don't know nothing. They're fans. I'm a football player.
What about you?
I'm a football player. Yes, that played 11 years in the league. And I've seen how team building, I know how deals are done. If you give up 42 and 43, that gives them the ammunition. If they want to take those two picks, they can move up. I'm not giving you 13. That is prime position.
Then you ain't getting Rodgers.
Okay, well, Fran, watch it get done. I don't care about everybody else. Quit talking about everybody else. They are idiotic.
So bottom line is the 13 pick or no Rodgers.
Fran, tell me this. What the hell is Green Bay going to do? Tell Aaron Rodgers come on back and give him $50 million after they already had told him and he doesn't want to play there? You act like you have no leverage. They have a player that will not play for them. They're rather retired than play for them. What are they going to do?
I don't think he realizes that him retiring would be a good thing. But anyways, please continue.
What is the chance the 13 pick's going to help the Jets this year?
Very tough to help the Jets, right?
You give them the 13.
No, hold up.
You hold on for a second.
You can get dropped. What are you talking about? Vera Tucker. What pick was Vera Tucker?
You can't just
I'm asking you a question, Fran. What number pick was Vera Tucker? What do you mean he's your best lineman? Vera Tucker was 14th. Vera Tucker, your best offensive lineman, would have been all pro last year. You're saying what type of player you're going to get at 13th. Vera Tucker was 14th. That's the type of player you get. You get an all pro, potentially a Hall of Famer at 13th. What the hell are you talking about? This is the upper echelon pick. This ain't pick 20, pick 30. Don't be dumb.
So the merits of the arguments are sort of secondary to the fact that they're completely melting down. And I know what's going on over here too, but it's just kind of funny to hear. Again, it's all about perspective. I think we need to hear this more. I want to know what's going on in Chicago, too, because I know they're freaking out. It's funny, because I'm just seeing little glimmers of it, but I see Bears fans just going at each other. And it's mostly because it's mostly the toxic Bears fans that come at me. And so I think I see their stuff more often than the fans that are trashing the Bears. I wish it was the other way around so I could just agree with them. But I just keep seeing them arguing. Like, who are you talking to? I know that there's pissing and moaning Bears fans out there, and these guys are just furious. And the funny thing is, I know why they're mad, because they're the honest Bears fans who listen to these people say, we're going to get this guy, we're going to get this guy, we're going to get this guy. And then when they didn't and they got absolutely nothing, they're upset. And they're the ones that are not changing their minds, unlike the ones that are super positive Bears fans that are like, oh, no, I never wanted any of that. It's not about that. They weren't a good scheme, blah, 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 whatever. But it is funny listening to Jets fans just absolutely devolve, screaming at each other. Granted, this is probably just how they converse on a regular basis anyways, but still, I find it funny. Also, dude's name was Fran. I'm sure it's short for something, but I don't know too many Franks that want to be called Fran. So, I don't know. Francis? But still. No, dude, just stick with Francis. Fran, come on, man. As far as the merits, though, I kind of get it. Like, you don't want to give up 13. It's a premium pick. That's true no matter what. You also probably shouldn't want to give up 2 seconds either. I mean, the fact that they were arguing that furiously or feverishly over such a minor difference. I mean, the 2 second round picks come out to what, 17? I mean, it's different, but it's not that different. And then for him to come out and talk about Hall of Fame, All Pro, Elijah Vera Tucker, like, come on, dude. First of all, the guy played 7 games. He wasn't really a prominent starter at any position. He mostly played right guard. And Nate Herbig was their right guard almost the entire season, 700 snaps compared to 200, basically. He also played 70 snaps at left tackle, which is less than George Fant, who played 207, and Dwayne Brown at 744. Now, is he their best offensive lineman? Maybe. In that limited sample size, he was graded the highest, although it was mostly as a run blocker. The hilarious thing about this offensive line, and we kind of talked about it a little bit before in terms of them having a terrible offensive line, I think we were like the third best. They were like the second worst or something ridiculous. But if you just sort based on like the best pass blockers, the top four are long snapper, halfback, wide receiver, and tight end. Then you get tackle Dwayne Brown, who had a 72. Then Lakin Tomlinson, the guard, who had 70. Then center Connor McGovern. Then guard Dan Feeney. Then a safety and two edge rushers and two linebackers and a defensive tackle. Presumably this is special teams. I don't know. But then all the way down here at 17th is Elijah Vera Tucker with a 61.4 pass blocking grade. So I get his point generally in terms of pick 13 can have some premier talent. But if your best example is a mediocre guard, like if that's the best you can do, and you can look at what he did last year, because last year he played pretty much a full season, 16 full games. He played left guard. He had a 72 run blocking grade and a 57 pass blocking grade. So it wasn't that different. So pretty tough sledding out there for the folks that are banging the table. It's not top 10, so you can't use Sauce Gardner. Maybe Garrett Wilson, because he was at 10 and between 10 and 13, you know, not that huge of a gap. It's also hilarious that he's trying to say Elijah Vera Tucker is their best offensive lineman when they took Mekhi Becton at 11 in 2020. Mekhi Becton. But no, man, they're doing great. They're having a good time down there. Speaking of the Jets, there was a report. No idea the validity of the report. I haven't heard anything since. This was from March 25th, I guess just a couple days ago. Yahoo Sports NFL insider Charles Robinson believes Packers Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis will sign with the Jets. Now, very important to go track down where that came from, because when somebody like NFL Rums retweets it, sometimes they put their own little spin on it to make it sound more clickable, retweetable than what actually was said. And so I tracked it down. I'll play a portion of it, and we can kind of go from there.
And how quickly he gets there, I think, will make a
talking
difference.
Talking about Rodgers.
Yeah, I do.
How much are they in this sort of purgatory?
I think having the OC, though, and Nathaniel Hackett helps. So even if it takes some time for him ultimately getting there, you do have Hackett there who he's familiar with. You will have Alan Lazard there who he's familiar with. I'd be surprised if they didn't add either Randall Cobb or Mercedes Lewis or both by the time this is all said and done. So there will be at least some familiarity. Also, I tend to believe that everybody's lying anyway. And I think, to me, in my mind, is he already working on the Jets playbook? Yeah, probably. I assume that there's all kinds of stuff is going on under the table right now between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Yeah, Hackett and Alan Lazard, when they were at dinner last week that Lazard was tweeting about, they're just like, they're actually in this private room with a screen up, and Aaron's got the Zoom on that same screen going through the playbook.
Yeah.
So anyways, the point is, when you listen to it and it's you could take it however you want to take it. He is a quote-unquote NFL insider. He didn't really make any allusion to having any insights. Generally, when guys like this make guesses, it's based on the best information that they have. Sometimes it's out of thin air. But the other thing that I would point to in terms of cautioning people is the fact that he's trying to make a point about how smoothly things will be, right? So she's saying something to the effect of, the other factor is how long is this going to drag on? You know, before Rodgers, he's not going to be familiar with the team and he hasn't been there. He doesn't know the playbook and all that stuff. And so he says, well, no. There's a bunch of familiarity. And he lists the offensive coordinator. He lists Lazard. And then what? Well, and also, so then he adds in, I also think that they're going to get something done with either Mercedes or Randall. Now, again, this isn't to say that he doesn't have, I shouldn't even say inside information, because if that was the case, he would have said it. According to what I've heard, it sounds like they're about to get something done. He didn't say that. He's trying to further push his point that there will be plenty of familiarity between Rodgers and the Jets, pointed out the guys that are already there, and then added in, if he had to guess, one, if not both of those guys would end up there. Now, I think it's more than probable that the reason that he said that is because he believes things like the report that Rodgers wants him there. He's watched as the Jets have signed all his friends. He knows that not only does Rodgers want it, and the team is probably okay with it, but Mercedes and certainly Randall probably want to be there. So having dug this up and actually listened to it, I think that the only reason I'm inclined to believe it, it reminds me of kind of how things are going with this contract, these contract talks, is just trying to find out where center is, just trying to find the level. I don't know if we're talking about a fourth round pick or if we're talking about two first round picks and a player. And so you kind of, understand that Ian and Schefter and these guys are doing everything they can to talk to everybody they can, and that includes other GMs. And even though those guys are not included and have not heard a single thing, the fact is they have a general understanding of what they would do and what they wouldn't do, and maybe a little bit of here, a little bit of there. And so you kind of, they kind of try to find center. And then when you get four or five or six of these guys and they all give their takes, we're all kind of triangulating all these things into an area. And so this is just sort of like one of those data points. Here's a guy who's, you know, talked to people, heard things or whatever. And his leaning right now, which is also being backed again by the fact that he's trying to make a point and maybe came up short and wanted to add a couple things into it. But his leaning certainly seems to be, based on what I've heard and based on the vibe I'm getting and all that stuff, it sounds like they're still pushing to go in that direction. So there may be something here. It's more than nothing, but I don't know that it's very much more than nothing. In other words, if I had listened to another Packers podcast and somebody like me just said, I bet, or if somebody called into the Packernet After Dark podcast and said, I'd bet money that both of those guys are going to be Jets, I would have a similar feeling. The only difference being he's had conversations with people that know, although maybe he hasn't had any real conversations that are meaningful. But the point is, I could take that call on Packernet After Dark and say, that's entirely reasonable, and I understand how you came to that conclusion, but I'm not going to go run off to Twitter and say, according to sources, right? Which is what's happening here. So this actually reminds me a lot of like the Aaron Rodgers is getting traded to the Jets thing, right? There's all this talk about it, all this talk. And I constantly was coming out saying, this is not a report, just so we're clear. Like, they're not saying that this is going to happen. They're like, oh, so you're saying it's not going to happen? No, no, it's probably going to happen. I'm just saying, this is not a report. I'm just making sure we're all on the same page here. So don't read too much into that. Speaking of, and this is the other thing that gets really confusing. I spend so much time trying to chase this stuff down. But if there's information, I want to know about it. Even if it's just a little piece, just like that last thing, that might be a little tiny piece based on the fact that maybe that is based on something that has at least been heard or whatever. I at least want to know about it and know that it's out there. Every bit of information so that it all can kind of come together into this calculation, which is going to be way off because, let's be honest, it's all garbage information. But I want to know. Anyways, I say that to mention that there are obviously the main guys that you trust, and then there are a bunch of just complete fake garbage accounts on social media. However, there's a lot of different ways to get information. Some of these garbage accounts, like NFL Rums, for example, are well-known, I'll say, garbage accounts. But a lot of the times, the way that they actually build up their accounts is that 90% of their content is listening and finding out information and retweeting. Like, obviously, they retweet the big stuff. But there's also some little stuff that they find, listening to podcasts, this, that, or the other thing, following smaller accounts. And so once in a while, it's worth exploring and finding out, you know, okay, so via this source, okay, go to that source, listen, find out what they said, get it from the horse's mouth and go from there. And then 10% is them just saying, according to sources, and then just make up some garbage that they kind of figure as a prediction with a relatively high hit rate that if it hits, they can come back and say, hey, guess what? I'm a legitimate source. And then they get a bunch of groupies that are like, no, he had a bunch of hits. He has sources. But still, I'm going to keep following just for those per this source. If it says per sources, just get rid of it. If it says per Jimmy John Schnabel of, you know, this podcast, all right, well, let's go check it out and see what so-and-so said. Anyways, why don't we take a break here? I've got something kind of funny on the other side because I'm just to the point now where I'm kind of just enjoying this. I need to delve more into Jets fans. Fortunately, a lot of the major New York news people are Jets fans, which seems shocking, you know? You'd think nobody is a Jets fan, but it's like, no, it's like, you know, New York is the main media hub, so a lot of these guys like Rich Eisen and whatnot, they're all Jets fans. It's like, that's amazing to me. But anyways, if you want to support the podcast, please consider doing so at patreon.com/pack_daddy. Thank you so much for Seth for jumping back on the Patreons. I really do appreciate that. Also, please consider checking out Fertile Ground Ranch Discipleship Ministry at fertilegroundranch.org. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 Whiskey declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, so we had Rob Domofsky jump on the show with Mr. Rich Eisen. He gave his insights in terms of what he thinks and where he thinks things are at, and so I kind of want to go through this a little bit. Again, how much of this is firm information, how much of this is flimsy, and how firm and how flimsy, we can only try to read between the lines. Sometimes he flat out says it, but even that, I don't know. But again, information nonetheless. And on top of that, we get to hear a Green Bay Packers insider talk to a Jets fan, and we get to see what the Jets fan thinks about the situation, because we know how Eisen feels. It seems obvious to me that Eisen really doesn't have any interest in Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he likes Aaron Rodgers at all. I think he's had a fun time over the last couple of years making fun of him and talking down to him and all that stuff, and now to come to find out that the team that you love and want to watch for is bending over backwards and groveling to get this guy to come play. And so he's kind of torn, because on one hand, he gives you the best chance of being an actual good team, and you want to try to enjoy that despite your disdain for him as a person. But then on top of that, you keep hearing rumors about them, the team that you love, as I said, bend over backwards and offering stuff that you find inconceivable. Even your bias against him aside, I can't imagine paying that much. And I tend to agree with him and every other Jets fan on that point. But all I can do is sit back and smile. Because even if the Packers get the low end of this deal, based on what people seem to think the low end of the deal is, that's way more than I think Rodgers is worth. And I think that's way more than a lot of Jets fans feel like he's worth. So either way, I think we're going to win this. Even if a lot of Packers fans are going to be disappointed with the compensation, we're going to get way more than that guy's worth. But let's get started and kind of run this thing out and see what we got
from you. What is happening?
You want answers? Yeah. You want the truth?
I do. I can handle it. It sounds like there's just a game of chicken. I don't know when it's going to end. Yeah. What do you got for me?
Here's what I can tell you, Rich, right now. Okay. From what I was told, the Packers think the Jets are kind of lowballing them a little bit. Now, what that means, I don't exactly know. But the Packers feel like they're in a position of leverage right now. And
everything is coming out of his mouth has got to just be infuriating. Just, first of all, the fact that the Packers feel like the Jets are lowballing them because of all the rumors about how much the Jets are willing to offer and all the rumors about what the Packers want, that the Packers are sitting there saying, you guys are being unreasonable. Like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. And then... to hear the Green Bay Packers feeling like they're in a position of strength. Now, by the way, entirely possible that this information was given to Rob Domofsky because it's a good thing to put a guy on a national platform with insights into the Green Bay Packers, saying the Packers are in a complete position of strength and comfort and they have no concerns whatsoever. They have the leverage. But as a Jets fan, man, that's got to tick you off. Because what you want to hear is, despite the fans being completely unreasonable, the Packers are worried and they're concerned and they need to get a job. And instead, what are you hearing? According to my sources, the Packers feel like they have all the leverage. So they're not worried. They know they're being lowballed, and they're not going to accept that.
Rich Cimini, our great Jets reporter, had a great line and a story that we worked on. Leverage is in the eye of the beholder, which I think in this case is
not that good of a line.
But I think right now, at least up until, I'd say around what is the first round of the draft, April 27th or so, I think the Packers have leverage. So. Now, after that, they sort of lose any immediate impact help that they could get from a trade. But I just don't think they're in a hurry to just take whatever the Jets are offering. And we know that the Jets don't want to give up that pick number 13. So they're going to have to figure this out somehow, some way to get equal value for whatever a first-round pick would be, whether it's, using the draft chart to add up a second, a third, a fourth, or whatever it is to equal that 13th pick or a player. This was suggested to me. The Jets had three first-round picks last year. One of them, the third of the three, was a defensive tackle, Jermaine Johnson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And now I'm having a brain lock. But
yeah, no,
let's just say the Packers really liked him last year and had a first-round grade on him last year. Would they accept that?
Rob, why would the Jets give up anything for Rodgers that is a first round talent when he's 39 and he's going in a darkness cave and he's flipping off the light?
Here's the thing, though. Again, I completely agree. That is insane to give up a rookie first round pass rusher for a year of Aaron Rodgers. But here's the thing. If you were to give up pick 13 or any kind of equivalent, multiple second-round picks, that's what you're doing. What do you think they're going to draft with that pick? They're going to draft a rookie first-round pick, probably at a premium position. Packers want tackles, edge rushers. They like premium position guys, corners. They might not. I mean, they could get a wide receiver's borderline, sort of, in my mind, second tier. They may go that route. Doubtful that it's, it won't be a linebacker, but doubtful it's a tight end at 13 or anything like that. So what do you think is going to happen anyways? And beyond that, again, this is where Jets fans, I feel like, even when I did the Play Like a Jet podcast, this was always sort of the thing that I had to keep reiterating. Because he would argue with me about how that doesn't make any sense. And I would say, listen, there's two separate things here. There's what I think, and then there's what's happening right now. I'm in complete agreement with every single thing you're saying. It is stupid to give up all this compensation for Rodgers. Here's the thing, though. You're doing it. You're doing it. So, I again, which you can talk to me about how it doesn't make sense to do all this. You can talk to me about his contract. You can talk to me about how old he is. You can talk to me about how poorly he played last year. You can talk about his motivation, his attitude, his lack of effort, his desire to bring in all these, subpar guys, and we already have a crew of guys that can play football. You can talk to me about whatever you want. But all you're doing is explaining to me why the Jets shouldn't be pursuing him. And that's a worthless conversation to have. Because they are pursuing him. So the question now is, how do the Packers get the value that they want? How do the Jets provide the value that the Packers want so that they can get Aaron Rodgers? Again, I would be stunned if Jermaine Johnson was a part of any kind of package. It would have to be sort of in lieu of pick 13, I would think. So in other words, if the Packers want pick 13 and a player, let's just say, or pick 13 and a second, then it's Jermaine Johnson and a second, or Jermaine Johnson and Whitehead or something, but you get no picks. That's the only thing I could think. But I don't know. But again, I on one hand, I sympathize with Rich Eisen because he gets so angry about this stuff. Like, are you freaking kidding me? But on the other hand, no, I'm not kidding you. Because as insane as that is, and it is insane, that's what the Jets are doing right now. That's what we're dealing with right now. So, I don't know what to tell you, bud. You can flail and fling yourself all around on the floor and throw a temper tantrum about the Jets shouldn't give this up. You're right. They shouldn't. But they are. If they give, and well, they're not going to give up pick 13. Okay, well, if they give up the equivalent, and that's the thing. He didn't even push back on the equivalent of 13. So if you're talking 2 second round picks and some, because as we said, those 2 second round picks that they have, if we got both, that's still not pick 13. So if we got those two and an additional pick on top of it, what are we getting? Three young, talented players that are not on your team, but are instead on our team. That's what you're willing to give up already. So you're right. Giving up Jermaine Johnson is insane because he's old and because of that. But we're already past that. Having that conversation is worthless. Well, why would we give up so much? He's old and okay. Listen, I don't know. Go piss and moan to the Jets ownership about that. But we're past that point, and we need to start talking about what compensation does make sense, right? So if you want to say, I don't think Jermaine Johnson should be on the table because he's a first-round pick pass rusher, okay, fine. He's a first-round pick pass rusher who's got already a year in the league. So if you want, give us pick 13 instead, and we'll take a first-round pick pass rusher who's better than Jermaine Johnson, because he got taken at pick 13, and he's younger. I mean, if that's what you want to do, because you could trade Jermaine Johnson and replace him with 13. Are you saying it'd be better to keep Jermaine Johnson and give us 13? Well, I don't want to give that either. Okay, but we're talking about giving up the equivalent. So you can give up 13, the equivalent of 13, or the guy you picked at, you know, pick what, 26? Who's a backup edge rusher who showed a little bit of promise, but not a ton? I understand you probably don't like any of this, but again, this is the conversation we're having, whether you like it or not.
Likes wondering if he's going to play anymore. Why would the Jets? I mean, honestly, it just, and I understand Gutekunst has due diligence that he has to do, and I understand Mark Murphy has to do whatever due diligence, but clearly they don't want him back there. I mean, everyone knows.
Correct.
You can't just go back to your corners with the Jets. Like, we have Zach Wilson, and you have Aaron Rodgers, and boy, that was.
No, we don't have Aaron Rodgers. We have Jordan Love. This is the other thing they refuse to acknowledge. Well, then I guess you're stuck with Rodgers. No, we're not. We're done with Rodgers. Rodgers is gone. Right? The question is, are we going to get something for him, or is he just going to retire? That's the question. We have Jordan Love. We're moving out with Jordan Love. That is our season. That is our future. That's what we're doing. And we're building in that direction. If you want him, that's fine. You pay for him. Otherwise, he can go ahead and retire. That's where the Packers are at right now. And again, well, maybe he'll be so mad, he comes back and he says, then I'm playing, and then he'll sit on the bench. I'm sure the guy who only wants to come back for the glory of it, right? The only reason he wants to come back is because he genuinely believes we can win a Super Bowl. Which, by the way... Again, in terms of this whole thing about Rodgers really genuinely wanted to come back, but the Packers wouldn't let him. The only reason he came back this past year in 2022 is because he genuinely felt there was a chance to win the Super Bowl. Right? Then Devontae left. That sucked everything out, but there's still a chance, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers back-to-back MVP. Team still got XYZ. The defense we all thought was going to be top five, right? All that stuff. When the team went to zero... Despite Aaron Rodgers talking about how, you know, well, I never felt welcomed and all that stuff. Well, you're probably right. But you also, there's no chance you having seen this were going to come back anyways. The only reason he wants to come back is to wait. He's not going to come back to miss the playoffs. He was never going to come back here. That wasn't going to happen. He probably was going to retire unless he felt that there was an opportunity somewhere else. And what do the Jets have? The Jets have a defense. The Jets have wide receivers, or at least a top wide receiver, and as far as he's concerned, that's all he needs. On top of that, there's Saleh. There's the offensive coordinator that he likes because they're super good friends, and he knows he can push him around and tell him this is the plays we're running, and great. The team is also willing to bring in the guys that he likes, like Lazard. So as far as he's concerned, this is it, man. Good enough. Is he going to go play for the Raiders? No. He wouldn't go play for the Raiders because the Raiders are never going to go anywhere. Yes, there's Devontae, which I'm sure he loves. But I don't think he respects the head coach, the coordinators. He certainly doesn't respect the defense, because why would he? It's like playing for the Packers, but worse. He doesn't want to come back here. If he wants to play, it's to show the world that he can still do it. You really believe he's going to come back just to sit on the bench? Well, he wouldn't sit on the bench because of Packers for the optic. Okay, fine. Then he's just away from the team. I don't even know how that works. Is he allowed to just, I guess he would just not dress. Which the funny thing is, he would probably have to be the third string quarterback then. Because we need a backup quarterback there at the game dressed. So if he's not going to be at the games and he's not going to be dressed, he's third on the depth chart. And again, his reputation among Packer fans, aside from the diehard loyalists who are like, well, the Packers did this to themselves, bull crap. This dude made a conscious decision to ruin this team. He doesn't want to play. He has no desire to play. Clearly, he's only back to ruin the Packers' next couple seasons and ruin any start that we could have had with Jordan Love. He's going to be the most hated Green Bay Packer of all time for that stunt. That's how he wants to go out? As a third-string quarterback, bringing his reputation to zero among Packer fans. And what's he going to do? Go on Pat McAfee's show and explain it? He can't talk about this publicly. He's clearly just being a D-bag. What's he going to say? This made the most sense for me? No. We're not going back to our corners with you have Zach Wilson and we have Aaron Rodgers. We don't. We have Jordan Love. That's our corner. That's it.
Question. You know, the split the tab of Lucky's dinner in Malibu. Like, get out of here, you know?
Here's the thing. Why would they do it? Because the Jets ownership is desperate for relevancy, and they know that Rodgers is their only ticket to relevancy right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, that's why they're probably going to be forced to pay a little bit more than they...
Right, and that is the whole question. Why would the Jets do this? Great question. Why are they doing this? But that's for you to figure out as a Jets fan. It's not a question of why would they, it's why are they? Well, it's stupid. Why would they do that? Why are they doing that? Answer that question and you'll answer the other question.
They should. Now, from the Packers standpoint, you're right. You, as Mark Murphy said 15 years ago when they turned from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, we have crossed the Rubicon, if you remember that. That statement, or Mike McCarthy said, that train has left the station. Yeah. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers isn't coming back. And to suggest, I know that was suggested somewhere earlier this season that they...
It was suggested 30 seconds ago by Rich Eisen.
would take him, that the only way they would take him back would be as a backup, and they're not going to pay him $60 million to be a backup, obviously. So they have moved on, which is why at some point, they lose leverage in this, you know. I don't think they're at that point now, but at some point, the Packers do lose that leverage because ultimately that $60 million check is still sitting out there that they would have to write.
So let me ask you this, Rob Domofsky here on the Rich Eisen Show from ESPN.
Well, yeah, they lose the leverage on the first week of the season when they write them the check because then the deal's done. That's how that goes.
NFL Nation. So I guess I'm surprised by this, which is when the Packers gave the Jets permission to fly out and chat with Rodgers, or just to talk to Rodgers, that led to a plane flight to go see him. There was no framework for a deal. Everybody's just suddenly like so shocked. Yeah. The Jets were interested in Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers was interested in playing for the Jets. I mean, get out of here with that too. So
that's the part that's hard to figure. You would think that before you go down that road, or in this case, go down that runway and take off to go visit with them, that would be something that would be worked out. I have heard conflicting things on that. But I would say this, the fact that there hasn't been a deal done yet tells me that they probably didn't have that worked out.
At the very least, it wasn't worked out to the degree that it should have been. It's, again, my contention, based on no real information, but just kind of putting the pieces together as best as I can, is that there was a tentative framework of, we think we would do roughly this, and, you know, in other words, the Jets heard what the Packers are looking for, and the Jets thought, okay, if we're interested, we'd be willing to meet that, you know, roughly whatever that is. Now, it's possible they came back and said, okay, so you want roughly this, how about this? And they just can't, like, no, we want, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of close, but not really. But again, the other thing that I'm thinking is once all this blew up and once it just went absolutely on fire and once Rodgers is like, yes, I want to go there, and they brought in Hackett, they did all these things, and the Packers realize the situation that they're in, and maybe they planned this ahead of time, realizing that if they don't actually want something in writing or you know, want to do any real form of due diligence to make sure that we're willing to accept this deal, we can just jack this up. And again, all of a sudden, all this information gets leaked that they're going out there, and very possible that the Packers may have kind of tried to push that so the optics are what they are. I think the Packers probably jacked the deal. And you could say that that's, you know, not the right thing to do if you want. Okay, fair enough. But if the price goes up, the price goes up. And so that, to me, still kind of makes the most sense. And again, what does that fall on? That's on the Jets. You're going based on what? His word? Some kind of a Zoom virtual handshake agreement? Clearly nothing was put in stone. Nothing was put in writing. And that's if that was even if there was a handshake. Maybe there was just nothing. I don't know, but all I know is this falls on the Jets. This is the Jets' responsibility. Before you go out there, you need to make sure that they're willing to give him up for a price that you'd be willing to take. And if they're going to say that this is roughly what we're looking for, then we need something more than just kind of a, okay, if that's roughly what, you know, let's do a deal today. Let's get something in writing. Before we go out there, I want something in writing. You sign it, send it to me. I won't sign it. Obviously, it does no good for me to sign it and be like, ha-ha, trade's complete, and then he doesn't want to come out here. Let's do a deal today. You sign it, send it over to me. We'll go talk to Rodgers. If we want to do it, if Rodgers wants to do it, I'll sign it and we're done. They didn't do that, clearly. So they went over there with basically either no information from what the Packers wanted or with a rough estimate of what the Packers wanted. And then when they tried to come back, realized that either the deal had moved or it was a little bit more than you were expecting.
But sure, I was told by several people that this is all, you know, it's a formality. They just got to sign off on it. But it would appear at this case, in this moment, that that's not the case because it hasn't happened yet. Now, look, it's going to happen, right? Like, everybody in the situation knows that at some point, Brian Gutekunst is going to put his signature on those trade papers and send it to the league office, and they're going to get this deal done. But the fact that it hasn't happened yet makes me, you know, I think tells us that they just haven't quite agreed on that. Now, it's also possible, Rich, that they could have the trade compensation part of it worked out in terms of draft picks and who's going where, and they're haggling over the financials of it right now because mm-hmm. there's so many. This isn't just we trade you to the Jets, you send us picks A, B, C, and D, and player A, and we're done. The Jets are going to want Rodgers to rework the contract, which Rodgers has.
And that's a good point, too, because there are a lot of things here. Maybe there was a deal done. This could be one of those things, too, where we go on, like with Aaron Rodgers, where we thought we knew everything, and it turns out, no, they had agreed on compensation before they went out there, and it's like, oh, I guess the Jets aren't idiots. They did get this in writing, and everything's fine, and now we just got to work on the contract details, which, again, now we got to bring Rodgers back to the table, and it becomes this three-way situation. Right? What are we going to have Rodgers do with his contract? Which I don't even know how many things are left to do. Although I think everything the Jets would take on would be the future money, right? So that's the thing that could be either moved, shifted, or reduced. The Packers is nothing that they can do because the Packers issue is the money that's already been put in Aaron Rodgers' pocket. Those are the things that can't be shifted, altered, or moved around. That's all money that's officially 100% due. So, I don't know how much flexibility that there actually even is, aside from saying, Rodgers, you got to take a pay cut, which I don't think he would do. I don't know. And restructuring doesn't seem to do any good either, because what is a restructure? It's just moving money around. Generally, you want to push it out. Well, if he's only playing 1 year, it doesn't change the calculation even a little bit. And again, everybody keeps forgetting what Aaron Rodgers said. He didn't say that he was going to be changing his contract. He said that something would have to change, and he specifically said that it had to do with cash. In other words, he doesn't believe that the Jets are going to want to sign a $60 million check and put it in Aaron Rodgers' pocket. That doesn't mean that they aren't going to pay it eventually. That doesn't mean reduction. That doesn't mean any of that. It just means this is too much cash up front that we don't want to have to pay you. And so we need to find a way to kind of move some of this cash around so that we can pay you a little bit later or something. We need, but you're going to get all your money. So maybe we move this bonus into this or that or how. I don't know. I don't even know how many tricks and tools there are. But we've got Gutekunst, Murphy. We got Russ Ball, who's crunching numbers. Then you got the Jets brass. You got the Jets owner, who's the guy that actually has to write the check. So as much as you feel like the GM is going to handle all this stuff, Woody Johnson's the one that actually has to write the check, right? And that's where Gutekunst comes in as well, or not Mark Murphy comes in as well, because Russ Ball, yeah, he figures out the cap numbers and make sure that we're in compliance with the cap. But Mark Murphy's the guy that has to write the check and has to have a balance sheet there to say, hey, that's great as far as the cap is concerned, but we don't have the cash for that. So you got the GMs, you got the cap guys, then you got the guys that have to write the checks, and you have Aaron Rodgers, and you have the ability to kind of like, well, maybe the Packers could take on some more of this so that we have a little bit of this. We can shift some to the Packers. We could shift some to the Jets. Do we spread it out? Do we put it in this format, this whatever? What is Aaron Rodgers willing to do? And look, maybe he is willing to take a reduction. I don't know. He should, because again, he's always said it's not about the money. It's about this, that, or the other. And if the Jets are going to have a hard time with his contract, in other words, you know, we're going to have a hard time winning and building around you with your contract. So if you can reduce it, then we can build around you and give you a better shot to actually get that Super Bowl. It sounds like it should be a no-brainer. For a guy that said he was willing to retire and walk away from $60 million, how about we reduce that down to $40 million? We can get the deal done right now. We can use some of that money to invest around you, help build up the offensive line, get a couple pieces here and there, maybe a tight end, even though they claim to love their tight ends, they're not very good. Do what we got to do. But is he going to do that? I don't know. But that'll be a big thing, like, you know, because there is all this talk about, well, he said he's going to change things. There's not that much to change. He's either going to reduce the amount of money he's getting or nothing changes. Restructuring a guy on a one-year deal is it doesn't make any sense, except for the sake of cash. If you can kind of split this up, so I don't have to write you this check today, but it doesn't change anything. He's going to get all that cash. And the cap has the exact same implication because they're going to have to pay all the cap. It's just a matter of splitting it up, how they can split it up best. How do we divert some of this cash so that we don't have to pay it up front? How do we split the cap over 3 years more evenly or in a way that we want? And how can we manipulate the numbers? And how can we get the Packers involved? And how can we get Aaron Rodgers involved and all that kind of stuff? But there really is no solution aside from just a straight up pay cut of him raising his hand saying, yep, I'm taking a huge pay cut, which again, he didn't say. That's not what he said. He didn't say, oh yeah, I'm going to restructure, which means take a massive pay cut. That didn't happen. He's just saying that he doesn't believe, because it's such a big number, that teams are going to be willing to take on that big of a number in terms of cash. In other words, I'm going to write you a check, you take it over to Chase Bank, and go ahead and pop that bad boy in there. They're going to have to do something, but he's talking about them. They're going to have to do something creative to spread that money out so they don't have to take that big of a hit. That has nothing to do with Rodgers taking a reduction in pay, necessarily. It could. But again, even the way that he said it, he didn't say, I'm going to do something to try to help out these teams. He said, they're probably going to have to do something because they're not going to be able to take that on. He's talking about them and their accounting tricks. He's not talking about himself, things that he's going to do. He's talking about the teams are going to have to do some creative accounting to try to take on this massive contract that I have. If I thought I could find it quickly, I'd go back and find it. But let me give it the old college try here. Ba-boom, baby, guess who found it? I'm so good at my job. All right, let's see if I got this queued up properly because I've been gone for several hours. It's good to be back, though. Nice to see you. I did not have it queued up. Thanks a lot. Past me. All right, let's just go from here.
Hypothetical here. It's hypothetical. Can we hypothetical?
Yeah, it's a fun game. Really fun game.
60. Everybody's talking about.
I know
about
he swore in there somewhere, so I just turned it
off. Does that come
into
any of this conversation? And there's no way you could say yes to that and be realistic. But is the contract like something that you have to think about in this whole thing?
Oh, shoot. I mean,
it's a lot of money.
Dang it, Pat.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. I don't think there'd be a scenario where I'd come back and that would be the number. I think it.
So this is what people hear, and that's kind of all of it, right? I don't think there's a scenario where I would come back and that would be the number. And I think people seem to think that that means that they're going to rework the deal, which people kind of say that generally, and I don't exactly know what they mean. But again, the only thing it could mean that would have any real relevance that I can think of would be a pay reduction. But listen to what he actually says.
It would definitely things would have to shift.
Shift, he said. That was the word he used. It would have to shift. Continuing.
Got it. I mean, we'll see what we just did.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Unpeeling the onion here.
For sure.
Why do you think that?
Well, I just don't think it's, I think there's a lot of teams because of COVID that are strapped. And you're seeing us a lot of different contracts. They're pushing more money out.
Right. So teams don't, they're strapped, not with cap, but with cash. Remember, there was a big, like nobody made money during COVID. Everybody went broke. So everybody's kind of strapped for cash right now. So $60 million in cash is not feasible. So what did he say? Something would have to shift. And he's talking about now, for example, money is being pushed out. In other words, they don't want to pay him $60 million today. It doesn't mean it's going to be less. It just means that they're not going to give him a $60 million check this year.
In deals, they're creating, you know, certain kind of void years.
Void years have nothing to do with giving somebody less money whatsoever. So again, he's at no time is he talking about a pay reduction or a new contract that is less. He's talking about and here's the other thing. He said, I don't think that'll be the number. Well, if he's talking about taking a pay cut, there's nothing to think about. He knows that's not going to be the number. He's not talking about that. What he's saying is, I think they're going to shift some of the money around so that they don't have to take that big of a hit immediately. He is at no time saying anything that resembles anything even close to, I'm going to be getting paid less. And listen, they're going to probably do something, and there's going to be a smaller number, and there's going to be a loud uproar of, oh, what now? Looks like it's a smaller number. It's not a smaller number. It's not. It's like if you go on Amazon and you want to buy a TV, and let's say it's a $1,000 TV, what does Amazon do now? They're like, do you want to pay $1,000, or do you want to give us $100, and then we'll just charge you like, you know, $50 a month for your entire life? That's all it is. The only difference is there's no interest on it. It's the same thing, but it's just, do you want to pay 60 now or do you want to pay like 20? You're still paying 60. It's not less. He didn't restructure and make things easier for the team. He's not taking a pay cut. It's just they're changing their structure so that they can afford it actually financially and they can make it work on their cap. These are two different things that they need to make work, but what they need to make work is the $60 million that is not going away. And again, I if that is the case, he never at any point said anything even close to suggesting that number would be reduced
to allow for the an easier cap hit. So
see, to allow for an easier cap hit. He's just talking about changing different things, right? Cash and cap. We got to make it fit. So he's talking about how they're going to tweak things so that it'll fit. So that what'll fit? My $60 million that I want in cash, suitcases, delivered to my hotel room, along with a lot of blow.
So there would have to be some adjustments for sure.
Right. There would have to be some adjustments. He's not talking about reductions. He's talking about, and he's even saying like hands off. He's not going to have even that much to do with it. This is something they got to figure out between the Packers and the Jets. They got to kind of work out these numbers and figure all that stuff out. I don't know. But all he's saying is I doubt that when this is all said and done, the number is going to be $60 million because teams can't afford it. Granted, Mr. Johnson, probably could cut a check for it. But in terms of team funds, because I doubt Mr. Johnson & Johnson has taken this out of his personal, you know, checking account or offshore bank accounts. I'm sure the team has a ledger. So I just don't want that to get confused. At no time did Aaron Rodgers ever say he's going to take a pay cut or restructure his contract, which again is a stupid word because restructure doesn't mean reduce. It just means move money around. And if you're only going to be there for a year, it doesn't make a difference. Right? They're already going to be spreading this thing out probably over 3 years. Now we're just talking about spreading out the cash. Because if he gets that $60 million bonus, that's cash. And again, I think there's a time period that has to be paid, but they can't be like, hey man, like don't cash this until 2026, all right? That's not a thing. They've got a certain time period in which they can allocate those funds. I don't know exactly what that is, but I'm sure there are rules in terms of when that's going to be, whether that's immediately upon signing or whatever the case may be, or sometime further down the road. Anyways, a lot of stuff is blowing up right now with Brian Gutekunst. That will have to be for tomorrow. I'm very excited to talk about all that, but trying to squeeze that in when we've already hit an hour seems like not maybe the greatest thing in the world to do. So tomorrow is going to be a fun day talking about some of Brian Gutekunst's comments that I've just been sifting through for the last, I don't know how long, and it's been a lot of fun. And by fun, I mean I'm kind of ticked off. But it's fun for you. Anyways, you guys have yourselves a great day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.